It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 157 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan, and I'm joined as always by my co-host and our resident chess analogy maker, Carson Ray.
Hello, everyone. Today, we're going to be focusing in on list building, talking not just about, you know, what ships you're going to punch it into your app, but making a cohesive plan with your list.
Yeah, so we want to do a list building episode that didn't give too many hard and fast rules, but we wanted to talk about more the philosophy of when you're building lists, because as you get better and better with X-Wing, you're going to be playing with a bunch of different lists over time. Very seldom are you able to stick with the same list over a long period of time. You're going to have to make a lot of minor changes and inevitably a lot of big changes as the game develops.
That sounds like you trying to tell me to change my list, Tim.
Well, you have a habit of sticking with a list a little too long, I think.
I do. I think that's something I definitely can improve on, so maybe I'll pay attention to this episode.
Well, I think we should just jump right into it here. We got a lot of stuff to cover today, so let's look at some list building ideas.
Absolutely. So, you know, load up whatever app of choice you use and follow along with us here. Ideally, not the official app.
Yeah, really, you should just probably do Launch Bay next. All right, so in typical Radio TCX fashion, we're going to break down a lot of these really nuanced and sophisticated elements that go into developing a list and developing a strategy, and try and break them down into the, like, you know, big picture stuff. So we wanted to start out by, when you're building a list, looking at the ship types. Not so much like the chassis, like whether you're flying an A-Wing or an X-Wing, but more specifically the kinds of ships that you're going to include in a list.
Right, because the kinds of ships that you take really does give you a pretty good direction in how you're going to fly them on the table. So you really want to be thinking about that from the beginning when you start building your list. And then, you know, when you get to your first game, you already have a pretty good idea of what your basic strategy will be.
And we've put ships into like four big picture categories: efficiency, support slash control, ace, and battleships. And like the value of each of these categories is not set in stone. And we're going to talk about the metagame in a little bit, what that means, what the term metagame means. But you'll see as the metagame develops and the game changes over the course of new releases or point changes, the value of each of these categories will kind of go up and down depending on the relative cost of cards or the things that are available in a given format. But I think knowing these big picture categories helps you understand a lot of like what the general strategies you'll see when you're playing with a list or playing against a list. You can kind of quickly pick apart, all right, what are the general strategies they're going to go for?
Right. So of course we have to start with efficiency because of course it's the simplest, you know, easiest to process, and perhaps the most common that you see. Efficiency is a really broad term, you know, that will apply to, you know, four or five ship rebel builds and, you know, six or seven ship swarm lists. These are, you know, usually generic or low initiative ships that you're taking because they don't cost that many points.
Yeah, and oftentimes, even if a list doesn't like entirely depend on being comprised of all efficiency ships, you'll often see these kind of fill in the gaps between other ship types in a list. So if you just have a handful of points left, often you're able to squeeze one of these more efficient ships into your list. But I think it's good to start by talking about what we mean by efficiency as opposed to all these other ship types.
Right. So, you know, efficiencies are usually kind of the base of, you know, within any ship, you'll have some efficiency choices. You know, like an X-Wing, the efficiency choices are going to be the low end, those generic pilots or, you know, name pilots that you're really not paying any points for their pilot ability.
Yeah, I think I'd go a step further, though. I think when I'm talking about efficiency ships, I'm really looking at a ship that excels in a couple different, like, specific categories. So when you look at an X-Wing ship, you could measure it on a bunch of different categories: the amount of attack dice it has, the number of attack dice it has relative to the amount of points you're playing, how many hit points it has, how good its dial is. So I think an efficiency ship, usually where its value is that for the amount of points you're paying, it really excels in one, maybe two of those categories, and is just kind of average or below average in the others.
Right. So for X-Wings, we're talking about those three attack dice you're getting for just like 40-ish points.
Right, or even like Y-Wings having a lot of hit points built in on their own, even if they're not great in a lot of other categories. Or you can actually put it into kind of the high initiative category. So ships like Talis and Lintra in the RZ-2 A-Wing, that's a 35-point ship. So it's really inexpensive, but it comes with initiative 5. And that's a really cheap way to get a high initiative ship out on the field.
Right, and when you're looking at efficiency ships, you know, usually you're not taking too many upgrades on them. You're just kind of taking, you know, at base, when I take this ship, what comes with it. So for some ships like, you know, those RZ-2 A-Wings, well, you get that extreme mobility, which makes them excellent blockers when you're looking at their low initiative pilots.
And efficiency even goes all the way down to like the humble TIE fighter or the Vulture droid in the Separatist faction, where you're getting a really kind of weak chassis, really low hit points, maybe an okay amount of agility die, but these things might pop in just one or two shots. But you're paying such a low cost for them that you can fit so many in your list that kind of compensates for their pretty bad stat line.
Right. Quantity is a pretty good quality of its own there. And that's, you know, quite the efficiency mentality.
Beyond efficiency, though, we have other ship types that we look at. One category that's kind of a split category is support and control, where those are in a lot of ways distinct ship types, but since they overlap so much in their purpose, we kind of put them into the one category.
Right. I mean, they basically just mirror each other. So they're kind of just like two halves of the same coin.
I think, though, the element that they really share, which is why we put them in this category, is that they both emphasize things other than damage output as their like primary concern. So on the support side, they're going to protect your other ships or help them set up really powerful attacks. Whereas on the control side, you're going to try and disrupt your opponent's synergies and, you know, either counter their support or just counter their ability to put damage out.
Right. So for, you know, on the support side, you have like an escape craft where, you know, you're paying extra points for basically a Z95, but you do get that coordinate action. So you can help, you know, protect your ace ships, give them an extra action. Now suddenly Fen Rao can get that target lock and focus for that 5 dice attack. Or you can use a TIE Reaper with that jam action. That can just really, you know, ruin your opponent's dreams of firing any munitions at you.
And you have examples like TIE fighters like HAL Runner, which lets you get rerolls for your friendly ships, or on the defensive side, Iden Versio, which lets you basically cancel damage. So there's a wide spectrum of support abilities, but the general focus is that they're not primarily concerned with putting out damage. They may do that as a side effect, just by virtue of all ships being able to put out damage in some capacity. But the reason you're bringing them in the list is for that ability. Any other benefit you get from them is secondary.
Now, the aces are sort of the inverse of efficiency. So they're going to cost a lot more points, but they do have a much greater late game potential.
Yeah, and the real trade-off, we've talked about aces, I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago, but the real trade-off is that you're actually usually paying a lot of points for them, but they're going to be ships kind of counter to what efficiency ships do, where efficiency ships excel in just a handful of categories. Aces are going to really excel in a collection of categories, but you're probably going to pay a lot of points for that, you know, higher standard.
Right. So you're going to have fewer ships, but each of those ships is going to have a higher potential.
And the last category is, it's kind of fun because we couldn't think of a better name for it other than just calling it like the battleship category.
Yeah. So if you think of a better name for this, let us know. We're pretty happy with all of our categories. But this one, you know, it's just battleship is the closest name we have for it.
Yeah, and this one basically includes any ship, for the most part, large base or maybe some medium base ships, ships that kind of feel like you're getting the value of multiple ships on them. I think the real main reason you take them is that they can take a lot of damage and they don't lose any offensive potential.
Right. So these are mostly going to be medium or large base ships that, you know, have a higher hit point count and that you can sink a lot of points in. You know, so they're going to have, you know, the damage output of, you know, perhaps two efficient ships. And that damage output is not going to go away till you take away their last hit point. Boba Fett was a great example of this. Now we're seeing Han Solo and Vinny being pretty good examples of this. Really, any Han Solo, you know, resistance, rebel, scum.
Yeah, they all fit into the category. And it's kind of a core X-Wing element, like guns on the table. Anytime you lose a ship, you're losing damage output. So that's going to affect your ability to win the game. Because at the end of the day, you need to destroy points. You need to take out your opponent's ships. What the big ships do is they're generally large bases, so they're bigger targets. They're going to still generally be limited in actions. Like if you have more ships, they're each going to take an action. Your big ship might get just one or two actions. But you're compensating for that by this ship will last a lot longer. And the interesting thing in X-Wing is that, generally speaking, no matter how much damage a ship takes, it still has basically the same potential damage output. So if it's an X-Wing, it's got six hit points. If you get down to just one, you're still putting out three attack dice modified with whatever actions you can get. Well, that's just multiplied when you're talking about these battleship-style ships where they can take a ton of damage, you know, 10 damage maybe, and still be throwing out a lot of attack dice.
Right. So halfway through the game, you know, most lists, you know, they've lost a few of their guns. When you take a battleship, that's not necessarily the case, which is pretty cool. And actually something I've used quite a bit, in first edition at least.
All right, so now that we have a general idea of the ship types we're talking about here, let's dive a little bit more into assembling a list. So there are a couple, really two key factors that you need to look at when you're building a list. Does your list answer the metagame as it is? And does your list have a plan to victory that's not just waiting for good dice to roll? So I think the first one to start with is talking about the metagame. And Carson, you've played competitive games outside of X-Wing before. So can you just, in short as you can, define what a metagame is?
So, you know, a metagame, you know, is a term we throw around a lot. And that basically speaks to the game of list building. So that's, you know, the game we play before we show up to an X-Wing event of deciding, you know, what ships and upgrades to take, basically based off what we anticipate our opponent might bring. That's a metagame, as simple as you can put it. What it kind of plays out to an X-Wing is, you know, there's a lot of cards you can choose from. You know, what are the common cards you see? And how can you work around
that? And that was the way, it was actually kind of a hard concept for me because I didn't play any competitive games before I picked up X-Wing. So the metagame is kind of an abstract concept to kind of understand. But I think the best way is to look at it, like you're saying, where you look at that, oh, wow, we have even in hyperspace a lot of cards available. Yet when we look at the top performing lists, we look at what's making cuts. Usually that's just kind of a small subset of the available cards. And the question is, why is that? And it is a kind of an amalgam of a lot of different factors. A lot of it comes down to certain cards just end up being better than others for their point costs or for what they can do. And that can change over time. It also combines in, the metagame idea combines in trends we see. So when a list type or a play style gets popular, people tend to play that more. And that means that people will either choose to play lists similar to that, or they're going to try and assemble lists that are effective against whatever's popular. So that's the way, even when we see, you know, or even after a points change and we haven't seen any new releases, a metagame can still develop as people kind of find answers to what's popular, which in turn changes what's popular.
Right. And so that's kind of brings up an interesting point of, you know, you get those like complaints against net listers of people seeing a squad, you know, doing well. And so then they copy it. Well, I actually really enjoy knowing that people are going to copy, you know, successful squads, because then I can expect to face those squads more, which can inform my decisions about what I include. You know, a good example of this is we've seen these, you know, Initiative 2 Rebel ships be very successful. Well, that's going to make, you know, Initiative 3 and 4 ships a lot more valuable.
And I've never been one to criticize people for net listing or, you know, looking at what's popular, because that actually is a huge part of the game and part of, you know, kind of the broader way a community.
No, we applaud develops. It. We encourage it, Tim.
Well, and I think like the way you see lists get refined over time is kind of that you imagine that all the players playing the game are kind of the test environment. So someone comes up with a list that's really efficient or makes good use of the cards. And then you get to see every X-Wing player as they kind of adapt it and make lists that are derivative of it, where they change small things or change large things. That the original list maybe wasn't the best version, but as people play it collectively, they find kind of the more ideal version until we see a shakeup either in, you know, point costs or new releases that add new elements. And I think that's a really interesting part of the game. So I don't think there's really any shame, even if you take a list verbatim off the internet from something you saw successful at a hyperspace trial or at nationals or something. There's really no shame in that, because that's a lot of how the metagame develops. People see those trends, they see what's popular, and then they kind of riff on them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of just one, you know, great beast that we're all just a little a part of. Each time you bring a list to an event, you're contributing to the beast that is the metagame. And right now, the beast has a lot of resistance organs.
But hey, we may see that change in the future. So the last element we're going to talk about is setting a plan to victory, or making a specific plan to victory. Because I feel like a lot of people, especially people at the kind of entry level or beginner level of X-Wing, have a general plan of, well, I need to destroy all my opponent's ships. Let's just put some things out on the field and hope I roll well.
I'll tell you the best plan you got. You go through your dice pool and you roll them the night before, pick the winners, and then you'll just roll better than everyone else.
But if you want to try...
That's what I do.
But if you want to try a strategy not set in superstition, there's some better ways. But I think this begins by understanding...
It's a sacrifice.
I think this starts by... The dice Stop gods. Interrupting me. Oh, Carson, you're the worst. All okay. Right. Let's talk about, let's get serious here. So understanding win conditions. So this might sound kind of obvious, but, you know, we're a podcast for being obvious. So a win condition in X-Wing doesn't just mean like the literal what you need to win the game, because there are really only three ways a person can win an X-Wing game. Either you destroy all your opponent's ships, you win. Or when time expires, if you've destroyed more of your opponent's points than they've destroyed of yours, you're going to win. Or if you end the game at time with a total tie in destroyed points, you're going to go to Final Salvo and just roll a bunch of attack dice and leave it up to fate.
Right. And Final Salvo is basically jousting with even more variants. So even if you think you're favored, I really wouldn't bet on this one.
But those are the three, I would call those the three ways you win, but those are not your win conditions, because win conditions can vary, I think, primarily on two factors: the list you bring and the condition of the game. So you can see it change over time, what you need to do to win the game. And it's almost kind of like if you ever watch like Texas Hold'em, when they have their hands and you kind of get the computer readout of like, what's the percentage likelihood? What's the statistical likelihood that one hand is going to win the other? There's still some variables, still cards to flip over, but your win condition changes, right? So like, depending on what flips over, that's going to determine what you win. In poker, after the cards start flipping, that's basically set. Unless your opponent folds. In X-Wing, you can actually affect that. So even as you lose ships and it becomes less and less likely to win, you can still evaluate things and make decisions like, okay, if I just take half points on these two ships and stay alive, I'll be up on points and I'll be able to win the game. Even if that's unlikely, that's still a win condition for you.
Right. And I would say this is something that the average X-Wing player is really not that great on, is assessing their win conditions. So it's something you can grasp. It can give you quite a good advantage.
Well, yeah, and it's even gotten more difficult, because since second edition was introduced, and every time you take at least half the total hit points on a ship, you get half of the points on that ship, regardless of the base size, that's added a whole new level of complexity, because I can't tell you how many games now I've played that have been determined by just a swing of like 9 points based on mostly half points being taken on ships.
Right, so we're going to kind of give you some, you know, pretty broad examples of win conditions. And these are generally geared towards the ships that you include in your squad. So, you know, going back to the beginning, when we're talking about those efficiency builds, you know, you're taking a lot of ships, really focusing on, you know, offensive capabilities. Well, you know, these lists are going to focus on, you know, winning the Battle of Attrition by removing their opponent's ships in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, and I do want to distinguish again what we're talking about here compared to a little bit of what the example I gave there. While a win condition can change as the game goes on, that's going to be a whole topic we can talk about on a separate podcast, maybe about including target priority. But we're talking about the win condition from the start. So when the lists go on the table, we're talking about the general strategies here. So like you're saying, on the efficiency side of things, those ships are depending on a couple different strategies, depending on how the ships are efficient, right? So if you're doing a couple ships that are loaded out with some ordnance and they can just roll a lot of attack dice and you're trying to take out ships as soon as possible, that's going to be like the Alpha Strike strategy. That's one way an efficiency build could have a win condition. Or if you're talking about a set of smaller attacks like the five resistance A-wings that's popular right now, those go for a high volume of kind of lower attack dice and just blocking and preventing your opponent from getting actions and taking good shots. That's a different kind of win condition, but also for an efficiency list.
Right. And the general trend here, though, is offense. You know, addressing the, you know, if I need to win, I need to destroy all my opponent's ships, or at least more of theirs than mine. The flip side of that is, of course, the aces who, you know, if I stay alive and just get a few points, well, then that's enough. As long as I don't lose any ships. So the aces are going to tend to focus defense while, you know, slowly dealing out damage over time.
So what aces really rely on for defense is modified green dice or just repositioning actions to dodge arcs entirely. Really, they want to mitigate damage because the problem is with aces, since you're investing so much in them, if they just get focus fired and taken off the board, you're really kind of wasting all the points you invested. So you're going to prioritize playing a little more defensively with your aces rather than being all out aggressive like you might be with efficient ships.
Right. I mean, the bottom line is you're bringing fewer hit points to the table, so you need to make those hit points last longer. And because you're not focusing as much on offense, that means that you're going to be going to time a bit more often. So that means keeping track of points and making sure you're ahead of those points is often going to be much more your win condition.
Yeah, and this is hugely important for ace lists or lists that depend on aces because you really want to track that, because I've had so many games because I tend to like to fly more ace ships or lists with ace pilots in them, where that's really important because I've noticed a lot of X-Wing games now in second edition tend to get settled going to time, and it, having those point values ahead, having destroyed more points and prioritizing maybe getting half points rather than just destroying a ship entirely has become a lot more important.
Right now, you know, support is going to kind of build upon, you know, either of these efficiency or A strategies. But control's plan is really to think of your opponent's plan and then just ruin that. Throw whatever kind of wrenches you can into their game plan.
Yeah, and control covers a lot of different categories, ionizing, some blocking, stealing tokens on the scum side. There's a lot of strategies there. Usually control isn't your sole strategy, though. There has to be a secondary element because obviously you have to find some way to destroy points on your opponent's side. So control often integrate, a secondary strategy that either focuses on aces or efficiency or some sort of battleship style plan where you're going to be able to deal out damage, even though that's not maybe the primary focus of your list from the start.
Right. And, you know, these are pretty simple plans. Most lists are, you know, going to have some sort of mix of these ship types and involve a kind of a mixed strategy, some sort of combinations of what we've mentioned above. You know, efficiency ships really easily pair into a lot of other builds. You know, you can have one ace and then a few other efficiency ships, and those efficiency ships can really distract your opponent. They can be the ones to do the initial engagement while your ace can then find a safe position on the board and then start engaging.
And even battleship style ships like Vinny over in the Resistance Bomber get more effective if you have some sort of support for them. So because Vinny's got, you know, a forward firing arc, three dice, got some, you know, bow tie firing arc able to shoot out the sides there. But if you can get more modification on those arcs, either maybe with a T-70 with M9GA to give it some rerolls, or even just a good efficient blocker to try and set up some better shots for it, it's really going to use a combination there. You're probably not going to have a list that's entirely composed of battleships, though those can happen from time to time. A lot of the lists you'll see use a combination of different ship types, maybe with a particular focus.
Right, and we're not going to be able to, you know, explain every sort of win condition possible game plan for your lists. But you know, I think we've given you pretty good building blocks for you to think about when you do start building your lists.
Yeah, and I think an important thing to remember is that when we're talking about things that involve the metagame at all, these things are constantly in flux. So one of the skills of being a good X-Wing player, and what's something I think every player should work on, is being able to, you know, look at what's doing well at major events, whether that's hyperspace trials or even larger scale national events, recognize the common strategies and the common ship archetypes that are being used so that you can build your list either being derivative off of existing lists or developing lists that can counter whatever's popular. Because the metagame is a, you know, changing thing.
Right. And, you know, maybe you're like me and you find a list that works for you. And so then you're like, well, why would I ever change that? You know, sometimes that just means, you know, tweaking some upgrade cards to better address, you know, what you might expect, or, you know, knowing when it's time to, you know, put those aces away and find something else.
So I think a good way to tie this all together is to basically look at two popular list archetypes, and we can kind of see the elements that we're talking about here and how these lists approach them. So I was recently at a hyperspace trial in Minnesota over in Minneapolis at Dreamer's Vault, and we saw a really heavy appearance from the Resistance in the top eight. So we're going to look at two popular Resistance builds and kind of show what they do, whether they're a combination or whether they have a really focused strategy. So the list I was actually running is Poe and three RZ2 A-Wings.
Right, and this is a pretty popular archetype that pairs, you know, a very heavy ace, a lot of points on that Poe, with three very efficient A-Wings.
Yeah, so the focus of this list is really having that kind of, I mean, you love chess analogies, Carson. This is kind of your queen piece. Poe Dameron, really heavily loaded out. Mine was in the mid-80s for points, and Poe is absolutely an ace. Got a very strong damage output thanks to his pilot ability, being able to take multiple actions, and having access to that heavy laser cannon through the weapon hardpoint. So you're able to really throw out a lot of attack dice and a lot of modified attack dice. But he is truly an ace, though. So you really need to keep him alive and just kind of depend on him to deal damage over time and be there when you need to close out your game, because the A-Wings aren't necessarily going to be able to do that.
Right, you know, Poe is going to be your main offensive piece, so you want to keep him alive as long as possible so that you can still keep doing damage. And then, of course, you also have your three efficient A-Wings. You know, you got Lulu, Lampar, Talison, Lintra, and then another, probably a Initiative 1 A-Wing. You know, apart from Lulo, who has decent damage output, you know, Talison and your generic A-Wing, they're going to have pretty low damage output.
And these are quintessential efficiency ships because, you know, on one spectrum, they don't have a lot of hit points and they can't necessarily get a lot of damage output. I mean, Lulo violates that a little bit, but where they do really thrive is their mobility, being able to be effective blockers, especially that low initiative, you know, pilot skill 1 or pilot skill 3 A-Wing, and having access to that rear firing arc. So they can do some tricky stuff. They can force bumps into ships so they can't get shot at and still be able to shoot out their rear arc. And, you know, in the case of Lulo and Talison, they're really going to depend on their high initiative because they can't really take a heavy weight of fire, even with three agility dice. They've got so few hit points that they're going to depend on using that high initiative there to avoid arcs completely and still get shots out.
Right. And then another popular resistance list that we also saw do pretty well last weekend is the five resistance A-Wing lists, which, of course, you know, you're going to take the same ones you see in the Poe build. You know, you got Lulo, Talison, and then three other A-Wings, you know, pick whichever flavor A-Wing you want. But the main difference here in these lists is that in the all A-Wing list, each ship is about equal in their value. Whereas you have a pretty lopsided value when you have a, you know, 80-some point Poe and then a bunch of cheap A-Wings.
Yeah, so in the first case, when you're running that list with Poe and the A-Wings, you really do need to protect Poe, because even losing half points on Poe is going to be a pretty substantial loss. Whereas you can lose half points on any A-Wing, or even lose an A-Wing entirely, and it's only kind of a one-fifth of your list. And that gives you some advantages that you don't have in the Poe list, where you can, you know, throw ships forward, put them in slightly more risky scenarios. Then when they take damage, they can kind of break away, fire out their rear arc, and then you can put other A-Wings in their place to start dealing damage out. So you have kind of a more overall hit and run tactic rather than just trying to draw attention away from one of your key pieces.
Right. And the five A-Wings can really spread out and attack from any angle. You know, when you're playing the three A wings, they got to be protecting Poe a little bit more. They might need to be a little closer so that you can use Taliesin's ability to, you know, give Poe that extra green dice when he needs it.
But I think what's great is that both these lists are viable right now, and they both present different strategies. So on the Poe 3A wing side, we see an emphasis on an ace that's supported by three efficient ships. And they all work in combination, protecting Poe and helping him get the damage in over time. Whereas you can go for a strategy that's just completely efficiency. You know, each of these ships individually is not that great. You won't necessarily be able to close a game out with just one of these ships, but their value in combination and how difficult it is for your opponent to figure out, you know, where your ships are going to be, you can be really unpredictable with the A-Wings, makes them a really effective way to deal with a lot of things that are popular in the metagame right now.
Yeah, and I like looking at both these lists just because, you know, they do have such an overlap in ship choices, but when you look at the total list, when you look at the big picture, you do start to see how they lead to different play styles.
So hopefully we gave you some good insights today, not only into building a list, but kind of building an overall game plan and what you're looking for. We try to be pretty broad here because obviously things are going to change over time. So we don't want to get too specific about the way the metagame is shaping up right now. But, you know, in the meantime, I will try to throw up a couple versions of these lists we talk about up on the Facebook page there. So if you're not sure what to try out, you'll have a good starting point there where you could, you know, either just fly that or try something a little derivative of it.
Right. And with, you know, wave three and the two new factions, you know, all of us are going to be starting at the beginning. So think about these concepts when you're building your first separatist list or your first Republic list.
You might be one of the trendsetters. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like listening to our podcast, you can go on to facebook.com/Radio TCX and like our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy listening to our show, please consider going on to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review. Those 5-star reviews are really important, especially if you leave a comment there saying what specifically you like about our podcast.
And if you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radiotcx and becoming a supporter of the show today.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week.